reach you in the name of Christ. It's a wonderful moment to be together again as saints of God, those that are seeking God. It's so good to be in the house of God, in the house of prayer. Just a couple comments. I appreciated the opening about love. One thing that I believe is good for us to remember is that it is always right to love. It's always right to love. May God help us that we would always love. And Jesus always loves. Jesus will chasten us, but he will still love us. It's always right to love. This has been a wonderful time, and I would like to preach a message this morning that God has been laying on my heart through the night, last night. I woke up this morning, didn't know what God was really going to show us, and in the struggle of the night. You know, sometimes we have dark moments in our life. We have dark night of our soul. Our souls go through some dark, dark nights. It wasn't that way really last night because I was with the Lord. But there was a struggle to find God's heart here for what I want to share. And I have been looking for something this whole week in your congregation. I've been looking for it every night. I've been watching for it. Let me tell you, it is important that we find this in the congregation. And now, would you stand with me as we pray? Oh, Heavenly Father, through Jesus we come to you this morning. We thank you that there is a pathway from sinful man's heart to the open heart of love in you, O God. We thank you that you care for us, and thank you that there's a pathway. And Lord, we thank you that you love us this morning, and thank you that you care for the church. Thank you that you want the church. Thank you that the church is your body, and you are the head. And this morning we crown you as our King, and as our Lord, and as our head. And we pray that you would help us, Lord. I pray, Lord, for this message this morning. I pray that you would not allow the raven from hell to come and snatch the seed away this morning, lest this would be understood. I pray, O God, for the church. I pray, God, that you would bless this body and that you would be here with this body. And Lord Jesus, I pray, come. We welcome you. We want you to be here this morning. And we just surrender and humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Lord, this morning we come to that secret place of the Most High. We want to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. We want to just be there. And now, Lord, I pray for the gentle rain from your Holy Spirit upon us. And bless us, O God, and give us a word of truth. We commit ourselves to you and bless you. And I ask that you would bind powers of darkness, demons and devils and hindering spirits in Jesus' name. And give to us peace and rest in our spirit this day, Lord. I pray that you would help that there would not be any hindering here from the message from the throne of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I've entitled the message, Is God with Us? I was looking all week for God. I was watching for God. I wanted to see, where do I find God? Did I see God? Is God here? I don't know this congregation. I didn't know you. I know very few of you. But where is God? That's my question. Now let me tell you a story. Where is God? Is God with us? In a congregation where I was a part of some years ago, We were having revival meetings, and there was a preacher there. And there was a brother, an older brother in the church, that had a problem to forgive the elder, the leader of the church. And numerous times, this elder came to this brother and wanted him to forgive him. He was blaming him for something that he had done in his administration. Finally, on that Sunday afternoon, this leader asked the brothers, he said, after the service, I would like this afternoon to come together, and maybe I can make peace with this brother. We were sitting there there were some of us brothers were sitting on the front pews here, and there were chairs facing this way. We had a little oblong circle. And this man that had a struggle to forgive this church leader was sitting there. I was sitting over here, looking this way, and the leader, the elder, was sitting here. And there we were. And let me tell you something, how the setting was here. We had windows all along this wall. The windows were only about half as tall as that window. And all the way to the back, there were windows. And we were sitting here, and this elder said to this man, he said, Andy, can you forgive me where I have failed you and hurt you? He had done that many times that he asked for it. And we were all there witnessing this wonderful forgiveness that is going to come, and the resting of the conflict that was between those two men. He waited a little bit, and then he looked at the elder and he said, no, I will not forgive you. And I remember something. I remember the hush, and I remember the spirit that came over the brotherhood. I will not forgive you. And as I was sitting there, I looked back on the back window, and there was a white dove. And the white dove was scratching on the window, jumping up on the window, trying to get in. And as there was dialogue, trying to forgive, the dove kept coming forward and forward, the next window, and was still trying to get in, and trying to come in. And finally, he was way up here, and I was not the only one that saw it. There were a number of brethren with me. And finally, that white dove just flew away. The meeting ended, no forgiveness. A couple of us brethren went back in here to the room and just started weeping before God. The Holy Spirit could not be in our church. He could not, was not allowed to come in. And that's my message this morning is God with you? Is God with us here? Or is the dove on the outside? Is the Holy Spirit just wanting to come in? But there is someone here that is unforgiving. There is someone here that is not ready. Their hearts are not right with God and is blocking the presence of God in the brotherhood. Is God still with you? I was not here when this church started. I'm thinking God was with you. Is God with you? I think every leader needs to ask that question. I go to church Sunday after Sunday, and I'm always looking for the presence of God in the church. And I told our brotherhood, if God leaves this church, I will not be here. I'm going to leave with him. I'm going to leave with the dove because that's our only hope. That's the only way that we can have church, is when the Spirit of God has free course in the life of the church. And my question this morning to you, is God still with you? Let me ask you this. Very few of you were here maybe when this started. Was God with you when you started the church? Every church that is ever born has to be born in deep praying and crying and fasting. We cannot start a church like we start a business. Because the church is not a business. We can maybe own the business, but God is the head of the church. And sometimes people think that all I need to do is just get some families together and we'll have church. We cannot do that unless the Spirit of God leads us. And the church must be born under deep repentance and deep crying and deep searching God, because it's His body. He purchased us with His own blood, the Bible tells us in Acts 20. So my question this morning is God with you? I'm going to leave this day. I might not see you again. Maybe I'll never see you again. But brothers and sisters, my burden is this. Don't ever lose the white dove. Don't ever lose the presence of God in your midst. If you do, your children won't be converted. And there's going to be conflict in the church. There's going to be sin in the church. There's going to be, God is going to leave. God is not going to be here. And I know today there are people that make a lot about the presence of God. We do in our congregation. We talk every Sunday, I think, about the presence of God. We want the presence of God. But I know a church that has maybe even talks more about the presence of God. But you know, the church is falling apart. And there's something going wrong. The children are not finding God. The young people are turning into the world. And I say, where is the candlestick? Where is God? And that's the question I want you to answer today. Is God still with us? I've seen the work of God this week. I have found Him here. But this morning, is He still here? Before anyone showed up in this church building, I don't think God was here. God is not He doesn't dwell in buildings made with hands. We bring God with us. And when our lives are carnal and cold and dark, and we come in here, we become bloodsuckers instead of life givers. And what we do is, when people touch us, they get drained. There's many times that I went to church, and by the time when I was encouraged to go to church, but by the time I left the church, I was drained, and there was something just, my spirit was just drained. There was something not right. I also went to church and do go to church. And I come home encouraged. I leave the parking lot on fire with passion for God. But it all depends on who we touch that day. We should all bring the power of God and the love of God and the presence of God with us. If you don't bring Him, we'll have an empty church. And the presence of God is outside. I hope you understand that. You know, few people identify what's wrong in churches today. But for many, His presence is gone. He's not there. Don't ever get to a point where you just have a formal machinery that runs. It just, you know, we come to church, we sing some songs, we have a prayer, we have a devotional or whatever, however you function here. And we just go through the machinery is working, but the dove is outside, still waiting to come in. And the reason the dove couldn't come in is because there was a brother that day that was unforgiving. Unforgiveness will block God from us. Bitterness will block the presence of God from the church. Sin will block the presence of God from the church. And so if we want the presence of God, then we must do something. You know, churches, today there's churchgoers that are sermon sick and teaching tired. They leave the church visionless, passionless, and empty. For the only thing there to touch was man and not God. May that not happen to us. Is God still with us? I want to show you today four things that have to happen in a congregation if God is to be in that church. Do Christians forget the presence of God? You know, Samson lost the presence of God in his life. And the Bible tells us in Judges 16:20, he wist not that God had departed. He didn't know that God was gone. He didn't know. Are we close enough to God that when he's not there, we know we lost him? We know he's not with us. Saul lost God's presence. We read of it in 1 Samuel 16, when the Spirit departed. In the Song of Solomon, I believe this is speaking about Zion, the church. Speaking about God, the church. It says this, I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had withdrawn himself and was gone. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The power of his presence is a tangible presence in our spirit. You know, people are reaching out. They have no answers. It's not beautiful anymore. And so the question that I have again comes back to this. Is God still with us? You know, a church that has life becomes a very attractive church. People are longing for life. They want life. They're looking for life. And life, we cannot, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, many people can tell us what is the way. People can tell us what is truth. I thought I was going to preach a message on truth today. But the Lord led me different. But Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. Many people have their idea about truth. There's people that say this is true and that is true. This is not true. And you know, we are in a great confusion in our land about truth. People are starting to doubt a lot of things. I talked to a person the other day. He said, the culture is developing a mindset among us that is everything that comes up, we start questioning. It's the very thing that happened when the snake peeked through the leaves in the Garden of Eden. And he started bringing doubts into people's minds. And today, that's what's happening with the explosion of the media and all of the things that are happening. I always thought deception was going to be that individual person that is going to be deceived. And I think that's true. However, I think the environment around this is developing into a questioning of everything. You know, we're not even sure about our doctors anymore. We're not sure about the medical field anymore. We're not sure where they stand. What they're telling us, is it true? And so there's a development in society that creates a spirit of questioning everything. And you know what happens? Nothing is really true for many people. But the only way, I am the way, the truth, and the life, we can decide this is the way. We can say this is the truth. But if you want to have life, there's only one way to get life, and that is to connect with life. You have to connect with life. And that means that we have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Why would the presence of God be here? Why would God want to be here? You know, when the presence of God is felt in the church, is sensed in the church, it doesn't make us shout and jump. You know what it does? It makes us weep and repent and confess. When the presence of God comes into our lives, We get down on our knees. It's the most humbling experience that we'll ever find is when God's presence comes into my midst. Look at the men of God in the Bible. We're going to look at a couple of them. What they saw. You know, the burden on my heart is that we don't lose the presence of God. What brings His presence and what removes His presence? I have been so deeply moved and humbled with His presence. I've wondered, I don't know, most of you have never been in our church. We have an old church built in 1910. And I've asked God, why would you want to be here? You know what? We don't have we just did some remodeling. It's a lot better than it was. But you know, why would He want to come to an old building? Why would God's presence want to come? Our floor is crooked. Our light bulbs are shot. We don't have carpet. The plaster was falling off. And in that environment, we sat there and wept at times. There were times when I would have rather gone home and just spent time weeping before God, because I sensed the presence of God there. And my friends, don't ever lose the presence of God. My heart has been so touched at times. He showed me my dirty hands. He showed me my filthy heart. He showed His purity to us. And you know what? I remember a service that we were there. It was a service and the preacher was preaching about, it was on Father's Day. And he was preaching to the fathers. And I don't know that he ever mentioned the new birth in that service. But as the Spirit of God was down upon us, the presence of God was there. There was a visiting boy from another state in the audience. He was sitting in the back. He was a boy that had never given his heart to God. But just coming into that, all of a sudden he got up and walked down and he was weeping. And one of the brethren followed him. And out on the gravel he found God and became born again. But the message was never towards him. He was not a father. He was a single boy. But when the presence of God is in a church, the needs of the church are going to be met if you open your heart. And it doesn't have the specific message. Be the specific message. It's the presence of God that will change us. Not the right words. Not those proper ways to say things. And that's what we need. You know, the only thing that sets us apart from unbelievers is the power of His presence. It's the power of His presence. And my prayer is, and my desire for you is, that you would get a grasp of this power of His presence in your life. And if you know what the power of His presence will do in your life and in the church. I would like to look at four environments, four atmospheres that we need in the church if we are to have the presence of God here. We need an atmosphere in the church like He has today where He is. If He is to be with us, there are four things. Remember where Jesus is today? He is sitting at the right hand of the Father. And there is an atmosphere around Him. And that atmosphere is the atmosphere that He wants, that He dwells in. And that atmosphere must be the atmosphere in this congregation. If the white dove is to be here, if the presence of God is to be here through the Holy Spirit, none of us looked into heaven. But if we could, we would see four things. Number one, we would see holiness that surrounds Him. It's around Him. Number two, there is light all around Him. And number three, there is oneness. They are all one. They're all one. And number four, the glory is flowing to him. I want to look at the first one here. Holiness surrounds him. Most people that have seen God's holiness never came back to tell us what they saw. I have a father and a mother that passed on. They were converted. In fact, my father led me to the Lord. I know they are now somewhere forever. And I believe that they are there in that beautiful place. And I would like to say, Dad, can you tell me what are you seeing? But you know, Dad never came back. And never will, I don't think, and tell me what it is. But we have a glimpse of some of these things. Only a couple things in the Bible have men seen. Only a couple men have seen it. Turn with me to Isaiah 6. I want to look at this scene, then we want to go to Revelation, then I want to go to 1 Peter. Isaiah chapter 6. Here was a man that saw the holiness of God. And look at what they saw. Isaiah chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne. He was sitting there beside the Father, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Look at these. Here was God sitting. Here was, and when we talk about God, we talk about the triune God. We're talking about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Then we talk about the Father. We talk about the Son. That's Jesus. And then there's the Holy Spirit. But what he saw here, he saw the Lord. There he was. And it tells us that the seraphims. Now the seraphims, I think I told you the other night, the seraphims are a flaming angel. If a flaming angel would fly in here this morning, I don't think we would all look. I would step back and I would not preach. I'm sure I wouldn't preach. I'm sure I wouldn't go on. If I would see a flaming angel fly in here, and if you'd see him, flame is following him. He's all aflame. He's like on fire. Those were the seraphims, and here were these seraphims. They were above it stood the seraphims. They each had six wings. So what did they do? Look at it. If they would come in, we would say, holy. But you know what? That's not what the seraphim said. They even covered their face so that no one sees their face. They were not looking for glory. They were not looking for, look at me. They were seeing something even more holy. They were seeing something more beautiful, something more obviously holy than themselves. And with two of their wings, they covered their face so no one saw them. And then they covered their feet, and with two they flew. That's how they flew around. And what did they say? They didn't say, look at me, I'm the Holy One, I'm holy. No, they said, holy. They saw God, they saw the Lord, and they said, holy. He cried to that other seraphim, he said, holy. And that one cried to this one, holy. And there was a chorus going on in heaven from all the flaming because they saw holiness. Holiness, my friends, holy. Did you ever think about it? This is what God requires of us. Holiness. Holiness. And if we're sitting here this morning and we have sin in our hearts, we are not holy. If we have unforgiveness, it'll block the holiness from coming in. And we'll take the church down. Holy, 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 holy. And that's what we'd hear if our ears could be tuned to heaven. Holy, holy, holy. That's all they could say. They didn't say, look at that. They didn't say, where are the others? No, oh, they had only one vocabulary. Holy, holy, holy. I wonder what you and I would say if we could now be transported this moment and take a look into heaven. See, this is the environment that is around Jesus. And if we want Jesus here, we need this environment. Jesus will not come and be with us when there's unrepentant sin in our hearts. We will destroy every church we'll ever go to. We will have a long tail that goes with us. All our sins are going to follow us. We need holiness. And the church of Jesus Christ needs holiness. And here we are. Let's look at Revelation chapter 4. I want to look at another scene. Here is another scene of heaven where Jesus is. Verse 1. Well, let's read verse 2. And immediately, this is John, and immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. Verse 6. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. Verse 8. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. And they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. Here again we have these four beasts. And they are there, they have eyes, and they're watching. And they see many things, but then they see God. And there they are, and they're saying, Holy. Again, the cry to us this day is, God is holy. God is holy. And if God's presence comes here, He's holy. And if He is holy and we want His presence here, Lord, something has to happen to me. Holy, holy. And you know what? It says they cried day and night. Let me ask you this. I thought there was no night in heaven. But there's an eternal chorus going on in heaven. Holy, holy, holy. These beasts don't go to bed. The angels don't go to bed. All they can say is what they see. And all the way to describe it is holy. And they rest not day and night saying, Holy, holy, holy. My friends, I believe if we get a glimpse of God's holiness, we will lose all interest to sin. We will lose all interest to go into the world. Our carelessness will fade away. Because we know that if we ever get to heaven, we're going to have to be holy. Turn with me to 1 Peter. I want to look at verse 1 there, two verses. 1 Peter 1. Look at verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation or in your life. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. So we know God is holy. We know the seraphims are saying, Holy, holy, holy. The beasts were saying, day and night, all forever they're saying, Holy. It's the only word that describes our God. Holy, holy, holy. You know, when I look at that and I see, somehow I wish we could get a glimpse of the holiness of God. When you became converted, do you remember how unholy you looked? Do you remember how wicked you were? You know, I believe every time we come to the service, every Sunday morning, I believe we ought to see our sinfulness again. See who we are and then how saved we are in Jesus Christ. Holy, holy, holy. Here he is, he's holy. And now he comes back to us and Peter says, Be ye holy. You be holy. For I am holy. Let me ask you, friends, what are we going to do? How can I be holy? How can I be holy? Heaven is a holy place, and sin will never enter there. Unholiness will never. Unforgiveness, bitterness, sin, wrong thinking, wrong believing, those things will never enter there. When we get to the gate, just like the man I told you the other night, someone, some seraphim or something is going to come and wave at the gate and say, whoa, no, 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 no. You cannot enter here. Holy, holy, holy. And now he says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The demand of God for us today is to be holy. Heaven is a holy place. It's all holy around him. And if God is to come, the four environments, the four atmospheres that he wants in the body of Christ in the church. Now God knows that we cannot be holy ourselves. We are so filthy. In fact, as I'm preaching here, some of you are sitting there and you're thinking about other things. Some of you are not even thinking about what I'm preaching. Some of you are thinking about something yesterday or last week or the future. You know, that's how filthy our minds are. We can't even keep our focus on the Holy One. I'm telling you that because I know that's some of my own flesh that is like that. But he's holy, and I need focus on the holiness of God. And how do I get there? All around him is holy. Nothing that defileth can be in God's presence. My life must be holy. My affections must be holy. My longings must be holy. You know, we have longings sometimes. We would never sin. We would never do it. But we have longings in our heart. And that's a very, very unholy and ungodly thing. We must be delivered from the wrong longings, from the lusts that are within us. I'm not only talking moral lusts. Maybe lust for money. There can be many things that we lust after. But God is calling us to holiness. And my friends, if we want to get to heaven, we're going to have to be holy. And I can't be holy. What am I going to do? You know what I need to do? I need to come to the cross of Jesus Christ. And I need to find my holiness in him. He has to come and impart to me through a life-changing new birth and through the wonderful dove that is sitting outside the window for many people. And invite that dove in. Invite his presence in. And let him change us so completely. Do a deep, deep work in our hearts. Oh, brothers and sisters, a burden on my heart is that Christianity is way too shallow. And I believe that's why we're going to find at the end of life many Christians, so to speak, they call themselves that, are not going to make it into heaven. They won't get there because heaven is a holy place. The seraphims are not going to step aside. Those beasts are not going to step aside and say, oh, here comes the redeemed when we have sin in our hearts. And let us say holy. You know what? We need to say, oh, God, give me holiness here. Help me to walk in holiness. Help me to live in holiness. Our thinking must be holy. Our words must be holy. Our thoughts must be pure. Oh, if we could see him, we would lose our interest to ever sin. I believe if I could get a glimpse, I've told the Lord, and he is Lord. He is sovereign. But I would really like to get one glimpse of him. I'm just like Moses. Oh God, could I see you? No man can see God and live. Why couldn't we live? Because he's holy. Why were they up on the mount? God's voice was speaking to Moses up on the mount. And the people were scared. They heard the voice, the trembling, the rumbling of the voice of God. I was down in Costa Rica, standing there at the Arenal, the big volcano, waiting for it to blow up, blow out. And as I was standing there, all of a sudden, the smoke started building up, and all of a sudden there was a fire that came out of the top. And then there was a rumbling, and a sound and a thought of God. You know, the Bible says that in John's hurt, the voice of God as the voice of many waters. Did you ever stand at Niagara Falls and you hear the tumbling of the millions of gallons of water? How will it be when we meet God? And when I meet God, my friends, if there's something I didn't take care of, back there in my heart, back in my pocket, I didn't take care of it, how will that be that day? That will be an awful day. We think we're home and we find ourselves moving away from God, lost forever. You know, Jesus came to the temple, but before he could enter, he had to deal with the unholiness in that temple. He chased those people out because he could not be in there with them. And so is what will happen in the church. God will not be with us. And that puts a responsibility on us to deal with our own hearts. Lucifer could not survive in heaven under the presence of this holiness because his heart was wrong. And when his heart was wrong, his pride was so unholy that he fell out of heaven. And in Luke 16 it tells us, or Luke 10, it says that he fell like a star from heaven because the holiness of God, Lucifer could not stay there. He had to move, and neither will I get back in if I have pride and ungodly and unholy things in my heart and my life. But we're not talking about that getting, I'm talking about having the presence of God here with you. Because he is holy, God is restricted where he can stay. Satan can survive with mixture, but not God. Satan can make it very well in a church. He can do well in the church, but God cannot unless it's holy. It must be holy. Maybe that's all I should preach this morning. Maybe it's only the first point that's important this morning. But it's that we are holy. God's call is holiness. Oh, gentle dove, would you come in? What would he say if we would ask him and he could speak? I can, but there's a sister back there. There's a brother back there. There are some here that are resisting me. There's some here that don't want me. They don't like me. They don't want me in the church. I don't know what he would say, but oh, may God just speak to my heart this morning and let me check, is my heart holy? And I have no way to be holy unless Jesus comes and cleans me and gives me holiness. I can't produce it. You know, many of you, I think you come from the same background I do, most of you. And you know what? We try to be holy. We try to do things. We do many things. And I remember a time when I was unholy, and I told the Lord, I'm going to read 2 chapters tonight. I'm going to read more. I was trying to show God that I want him. But you know what? God didn't want my reading of 2 chapters. God wanted my unholy heart, and he wanted me to deal with my affections and my longings, to repent. Repentance is the lost doctrine of the church today. Excuse me. Point number 2. Where Jesus is, there's light. It's all light around him. There is no darkness there. There's no darkness, but all the darkness that is in churches today. Much darkness, much filthiness, much darkness. Let's look at that environment. Turn with me to Revelations 22. I want to look at just a brief peek into that. There's few things that we know that we have the word for, but here's one of them. Light is all around him. Revelation 22. Want to look at 3 verses. This is how it is there. Revelation 22, verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God himself giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. The light of God, it's all illuminated. Everything is open. It's totally open in heaven. You can't find, if God wants to see darkness, he has to come to the planet Earth. This is where darkness is. But in heaven, there is no darkness. You cannot find any darkness in heaven. It's all light around him. Everything is light. It's beautiful there. You know, he created light. It illuminates. He doesn't want anything dark around him. This is the second point we want to see. If God is to be here, then there can't be darkness here. There can't be dark thoughts and dark desires. There can't be hiding things. He doesn't want anything dark around him. Light brings openness. You know what light does? If we would turn all the lights off right now, I couldn't see everyone and you couldn't see me, some of you in the back. At least not well. But where there is light, there is openness. There is no hiding. There is free sharing. I want to say to you as a brotherhood, one of the most beautiful things in a brotherhood is when there is openness, where we can just share with one another. We should just share with one another. I have nothing to hide. I have nothing to hide. Hiding is not a part of where Jesus is. There is nothing hidden in heaven. It's all illuminated. It's all light. We can look at anything in heaven. We'll never carry a flashlight when we get to heaven. We won't go out into those beautiful trees and look for the birds. And I don't know what all is in heaven. We have our imaginations, but I don't know. But one thing I know, there will be no night in heaven. There will be no night there, no darkness there. If God is to come and God is to stay in this congregation, in this church, then everything is exposed. Everything is exposed. You know, sometimes in a brotherhood, sometimes we see there's just something. I just don't know what it is. But you know, that brother or that sister, there's a darkness there. There's a veil there. There's something is not clear. Heaven, no. This is the environment where Jesus wants in the church. And let me say this, lest I forget. Jesus Christ came to give us a way that we can be in this environment on the planet here. We can actually have, he comes to help us. He wants us to live in the light, to live in the light. What does it say? In 1 John 1, some of you could quote it. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, what happens? We're going to have fellowship one with another. That means communion. It means communication. Sometimes people don't want to talk. Sometimes you have the quiet ones. But you know what? When the Holy Spirit comes, he makes us bold. Did you ever notice in Acts, when the Spirit of God came, people got bold. The shy ones started speaking. They were under the Spirit of God. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleans us. Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. But one thing I'd like to say to the ordained men here, or your leadership here, and that is this. You need to help develop a safe environment so that everyone feels safe to bear their hearts, just to pour it out. Sometimes we have to just sit and listen. Listening is one of the most beautiful characteristics of a child of God, is to just hear. Sit there and hear. Listen. It's safe to come here. This should always be a safety zone for the saints. And it is. And when there's nothing hidden in the church, the power of God is going to be in the church. And the presence of God will come in. Environment number one is holiness, cleanness, confessing every sin, dealing with my sins, dealing with things. Number two is walking in the light. I have nothing to, I'm not hiding anything. I will tell you everything about me. To my knowledge, our church knows everything about me, my brotherhood. They know everything about me. We need that. And if I sin tomorrow, I need to be open, because I'm blocking the dove from coming in. And then all of a sudden, something is wrong in this church. Why are we not how we used to be? What happened? Someone in the church knows that something is wrong. They know where it is. If we would have lots like they did back in Joshua's time when Achan was chosen, would you have any today? Is everything exposed in your life? Or would you have any reason to think, if we'd have a lot today, that your name would be drawn? We should not have any feeling that we don't know anything. We're clean, we're open, we're illuminated, we live. This church lives in an open way. And that's what Jesus, in heaven it's all illuminated, and so it must be here. May his light be here, or his presence will leave. Let's look at the next one, number three, oneness. God dwells where unity is, where there is oneness. You know, the Trinity is united. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. There's unity. This is the most touchy one that I'm talking about this morning. It's probably the one that we have failed to be true according to the Word of God. It's the one that we have a deceived view of. You know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they think the same. There is no conflict. You know, the Father is not saying, you know what, it seems like these people down there on the earth, they're all, when they call, when they pray, they all look to you, Jesus, that you would then bring this. Why don't they just come to me? You know, they're not saying the Holy Spirit, He is down there on the earth all the time, and He's getting the glory. You know, there is no conflict between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Heaven doesn't have conflict. It used to until Satan was cast out. But there's no conflict. They're all one. There's no competing angels. The spirits are not competing up there. The seraphims are not saying, why am I not the one that is over there saying, crying holy? No, there's no competition. It's all unity. It's all one. Abraham is not saying, Moses, people down there are talking about you. Moses is not saying, they call you the man, the father of faith. I had as much faith as you did. There's no competition in heaven. And if we want to have the Spirit of God and God's presence here, we cannot have that here. We cannot have that in the brotherhood. I know I'm going to tread on our toes now, but let me just share with you what God has laid on my heart, if I may. Can we live in the light this morning enough that we can look at the Word of God? Jesus dwells where there's no conflict. Turn with me to John 17. In John 17, Jesus prayed a lot, but there's few prayers recorded that Jesus prayed. I wish there would be a lot of his prayers recorded, but there's very few recorded. But one of his last recorded prayers is what we're looking at right here. This was Jesus before he left. He bore his heart. He gave, and this is what he said. This is what he prayed. In verse 1 it says, Then these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 11. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world. I know, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one. And that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know one thing about Jesus? You notice here, who is he praying for? Jesus, at the end of his life, had one deep burden on his heart. You know what? We get burdened sometimes. Just the other week in our congregation, we have a young man there that moved in with his family. He's not converted. He just turned 21 last week. And the burden for his soul became so heavy that the brotherhood decided last week to spend time fasting. And we came together at nights and just to pray. Oh, his soul needs to be saved. And he has just been pushing back against the white dove, against the presence of God. He's a nice boy. He's a nice young man. Maybe he's too good to be saved. But you know what? The world is dying. The world is in sin. And when Jesus was here, the whole world was not saved. Many people were not saved. But you know, when he gets down on his knees and he lifts his arms, and Jesus said, Holy Father, you know, who did he pray for? Notice that he could have prayed for the world of sinners, but he didn't. His last burden on earth was not the sinners of the world. It was the saints. It was the church. And you know, he knew the competition. He knew that we are better competitors and better fighters than what we are lovers. And he knew that we need help. He knows the depravity of our heart. And he knew that we needed help. And here he is. He's crying out and he's saying, Oh, Father. Father, those that you've given to me, help that they could be one. That they may be one. That the world may know. You know why the world isn't rushing into the church this morning? Because the church has been, in the church, the power of in a church is from God. But the strength of a church is its unity. It's its oneness. And God wants oneness. But you know, we're here. I don't know where you're at. I'm here very free. But I want to tell you that if you want the presence of God in this church, there has to be oneness here. There has to be unity. There has to be oneness. And here he is, and he's crying out to heaven, and he's saying, Oh, Father, that they may be one as we are one. Give them the glory. You know what the glory is that he's talking about? It's the glory of oneness. There's a beautiful thing in oneness. Now I know, and you understand, I'm not talking about being one in wrong. We're being one in the Spirit of God. We're the Spirit of God, but we are so competitive in our thinking. And often the pride in our own heart wants to elevate me, wants me to be elevated. And if that is in the church, you know what? You're going to have to look outside to see the work of God. Let's look at another scripture in Matthew 18. Again, oneness. He comes into the midst of a united brotherhood. Let's look at just a couple verses here in Matthew 18. In verse 15 through 17, there was a breach of oneness. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, here is a breach of oneness. Go to him and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. And if thou hear, you all know about Matthew 18. If I talk to you about Matthew 18, there's something that just we maybe don't like it too well. It's okay. Look at the Word of God. This is Jesus speaking. I'm not talking about this first part here. But there's a way to deal with the breach of oneness. And this is what it says here from 15 through 17. And then he goes in and says this. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Here he's talking about a united brotherhood, a united church of Jesus Christ, a united body. There is strength in a united body. And then he says this, and these are the two verses I want to look at. Verse 19 and 20. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that ye shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. We're talking about the presence of God. Here he comes. Here he comes. But the qualifier here is that we would be agreed together. Notice something here. It says the Greek word in 19 is in where it says agree. And then in verse 20 it says, for where two or three are gathered together. In a sense, it's almost redundant. Gathered is what you did this morning, isn't it? Together is also how we are here. And I believe what Jesus is saying here, and the together and the word agree in verse 19 have the same root Greek word. And what it's telling us here is people can gather, but they're not together. And my question this morning is, are you together? Or have you just gathered? People came to this church this morning and they gathered, but are you together? Jesus' heart is that we are not only gathered, but that we are together. The blessing, and when you are gathered together, what does it say? In my name, there I am in the midst. One of the most beautiful examples and words of Jesus about him being with us. If you come together, you gather and you're together in your spirit, together in your heart, you are together, then I'm going to come and I'm going to be with you. Again, the message is the presence of God in our midst. We must be holy. We must walk in the light, no, nothing hidden. And we must be united. Oh, but you know what? You know the biggest struggle is maybe not sinning in the church. The biggest struggle is getting along in the church. That is such a curse to Jesus' name in our communities. We are so divided. We are so not together. We gather, but we're not together. Are we gathered together this morning? If so, then in the name of Christ, then he will be here. Not just physically present, but one. If we're united in decisions, united in prayers, united in assembly, then his presence is with us. You know, let me say this, if I may. We have with error accepted that we cannot be one. I hear it a lot. I hear it all the time. But we're all different. Well, who made us different? God did. But Jesus prayed. We're saying we can't be one. Well, why did Jesus waste his time to pray for the church? If we can't be one, He should have prayed something else. Pray for the lost. Pray for the sinful souls. No, his burden was that they may be one, because Jesus knows that the work that I will do in the hearts the deep work of God in the hearts and lives of the ones that I save. I will do such a deep work that they may be won. And let me say this. I don't want to prophesy, but I'll say this. If this church goes down, it's going to go down because of your disunity, not because of you allowing sin in the church. We are often very careful about sin. When someone does wrong, we sense it. We go after them. We talk to them, and they come weeping at the feet of Jesus, and they repent. But there's a lot of people that have individually wept before God, repented, but then they still struggle in brotherhood, in getting along. And if this church, and I may be wrong, and I stand to be corrected, but I believe that our churches go down because of disunity. That's why the devil is after that area in a brotherhood. Because he knows if I can topple the way they walk together, I don't have to worry about sin. Let them live what they say is holy. But you know, being disunited is unholy. If we lose oneness, we lose the presence of God. You know, when there is disunity, I want you to remember this. When there is disunity in the church, someone is out of unity with the Lord. When there is disunity in the church, someone is out of unity with the Lord. We cannot follow the same Holy Spirit, even though He uses the flavors of our personalities, the flavors of our temperaments. He uses those. He designed us that way, but not to divide us. He uses that for the edification of the body, but to unite us and help us. Let me ask this question. Are we one today? Are we one? I don't know that. I'm not here. I'm preaching a message that God laid on my heart last night. I went to bed, and there I laid, and there I turned until God was clear to me. I was going to preach another message, and God was speaking to me. And I saw many hours of the night last night until I said, God, I will preach this message. And that's why I'm preaching it. And I don't know your church. I don't know the unity you have. I don't know the holiness here. And I don't know how open you are and that it's safe. It's a safety zone for the sinner. But are we together? Do we have one vision, one heart, one thinking, one direction? You know, when the early church started in Acts 4, I want to read two verses here. In Acts 4, verse 31, this was the very first church, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them. One vision, one direction, one path, one thinking. We need to endeavor to live in the unity of the Spirit. Endeavor to live in the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's our duty. We should not belong to a church if we plan to not be united with that church. You say, but we're all different. So is every husband and every wife here today. They're also different. But they're one. They're one. God designed it so, and God designed the church that way. One direction, one thinking. Would you allow God's presence to be here? He dwells where there is oneness. If Jesus would come in here this morning, walk in here now, what would he say if he'd stand here and look at everyone? Would he say, I would say, Jesus, can you be with these brothers and sisters? Well, he'd look back there and he'd say, there's a sister back there that is not with you. There's a brother there. There's two. There's another one. They are not together. What would Jesus have to do? He would have to decide, well, see, okay, that brother, that brother, that brother, they're not united. They're not together. Well, whose side is Jesus going to be on? You know what? Jesus will never put himself in that position. He will just leave. And that's what's happening in many churches today. Jesus will not be with us. Brothers and sisters, I believe this is one of the key points in having the presence of God here. We must be united in one spirit, walking together in the bond of peace. I don't want Jesus to come to our church and say, yes, but Paul, you're not in agreement. You and that brother, you and that sister, you're not. God forbid, I'm wrong. If that's the case, I need to fall down and I need to fall before the Word of God and say, what is right? And we need to come and find our common ground in the Spirit of God. What am I bringing to the church that divides? Let me ask you, brothers and sisters, what are you bringing to this congregation that divides? What are you bringing? What are you allowing that competes against oneness? What do you think? What is your thinking that is a divided thinking? Jesus is crying in John 17, oh, that they would be one. Could we rise up and answer Jesus' prayer in Allen County, Indiana? Who's going to answer his prayer? That they may be one. He's still crying over that. That they may be one. Are you going to be a brotherhood that is willing to be the answer to Jesus' prayer? That the world may know. You have a lot of concerns about the community. But let me tell you something. Why would converted people want to come to this church? When we go out and we go to the streets of Fort Wayne and we bring them in here, and they come in here and they see the division in our thinking. They see that we're not united in the Spirit of God. Why should they come here? They can stay where they're at and have the same divisions that are out there. The Church of Jesus Christ, Jesus is living in complete unity. It's the environment around him. And if he is to come here, that's what he needs. Oh, may God help us. And the last point quickly. Let me tell you one other thing. Maybe I should go there, but let me just quickly read this. Because here's the blessing of unity. Listen to these words. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. This is Psalms 133. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garment, as the dew of Hermon and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded a blessing. You know, what you need to search more and seek more than maybe anything here is the blessing of God upon your church. And the blessing of God comes. Look at what he did. When brethren dwell together in unity, that's not only brothers, that's brothers and sisters in this setting. There the Lord will command a blessing. He will say, Father, pour yourself out upon them and help them. May the Lord check our hearts. The question again is this, are we together or have we just gathered? And the last point quickly, this won't be long. Is the glory flowing to him? In heaven, the glory is flowing to him. No one is stealing glory from him. No one is trying to be the seen one in heaven. All the glory, the seraphims, the angels, the countless thousands, maybe millions of angels that are there, and the saints that already went, they're looking to him and the glory is going to him. It's not, look at me, oh, this is me. No, the glory is going to him. Everyone is pointing to him. The eyes are on him. The glory goes there. Let me ask you, where is the glory of this church? If someone would ask you, you know what, I hear that Allen County Christian Fellowship has a wonderful church. You know those people, they're not drifting into the world. They're staying pure. The young people are finding God and following God. And I would ask you, what are you doing? What would you tell me? Where is the glory for that? No, the glory is not on the planet. The glory is God. It's God. All our glory goes to him. This church must reach out to him and say, glory, glory, glory. Maybe that's all we can say. The angels say, holy, 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 but we bow and we humble ourselves when we hear that word. But we say, glory to you for saving my soul. Oh, the other night I was blessed when I heard one of those that found the Lord the other night came and said, oh, my life is so different. God bless him. May that continue in his life. Brothers and sisters, stand there and support. Stand with them. And if God blesses this church, it's not because of what Steve did. It's not because of all the other ministry that's here. It's not them. No, the glory is him. We must give him glory because in heaven, that's what he is used to. He sits there and he gets all the glory. And if he is to be here, then all the glory must go to him. No glory to anyone else. He is the worshiped one, the focused on, the talked about one. Oh, you know, but this afternoon I'd like to tell you a little bit about my business. You know, I just bought a new truck. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Who's getting the glory? My business is doing well. We are so busy, we need to hire more people. Well, who is getting the glory for that? You know what? The glory has to go to Jesus if he is to be in your midst. So when we show my things, we talk about my accomplishments. I did, I do, what I like. We steal his glory and his focus. I will not give my glory to another, God said. Let me ask you this question in closing. Why would he come and why would he stay with you? Four reasons why he will be here and four reasons why he will not be here. If there's holiness here, our lives are holy, made holy by the blood of Jesus. Not what I did, not my works. But the work of God that happened in my heart causes me to have good works. Holiness. And if the light is here, it's illuminated, it's an open, safe area to just bare my heart and open my heart. And there is oneness here. We're together, but not only together, we're one. And there the glory is going to him. That's why he would come. And that's why he will be here. And if those four areas are missing, you need to wave at him as he leaves you. And if I would be here, I would go with him out the door. Is God still with us? Does my presence bring his presence? Do we still have a candlestick? I think we can kneel this morning. Let's kneel. Oh, Father in heaven, we kneel before you in honor to who you are. Oh, Jesus, thank you so much for coming to Calvary to help us. We are so competitive. We are so wrong. We are so sinful. And we are such fighters of good people. We fight against those that you have sent to help us. And God in heaven, this morning I pray, return the glory of the saving grace that you brought to us again to yourself. And Lord Jesus, I pray for this congregation. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you would continue, O God, to do a work in this church. And Lord Jesus, I pray, meet our need this morning. Allow us to understand the Word of God this morning. Help us to see what you're trying to tell us. Open our understanding that we may walk in faith and walk in purity, walk in holiness, walk in the light. And help us, O God, to walk in oneness and to bring glory, to lift our hands to you and to glorify you, for you have done it all. Thank you for meeting our needs. Now, Lord, meet our needs. And would you come and would you stay here? And Lord, in 10 years from now, in 20 years from now, please still be here. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I feel compelled by the Spirit of God to just open it up. Maybe you are here, and maybe this church is having the issues because of my heart. Maybe the Spirit of God is not here. Maybe God is not here. Maybe you need to respond. You need to come up. Maybe your life is not holy. Maybe your life is not walking in the light. You have dark areas. You have closets that you're not going to open up. You told yourself, I'll never open that door. Or maybe you are fighting in the brotherhood. Maybe you're not one. If God is speaking to your heart, I'll give you this opportunity. Come forward. Let's pray. Let's pray through. Let's not be a bloodsucker in the congregation. Let's be a life giver. Can we have a song as we open this up to all of you? 317. As we sing, would you come? Would you come if the Lord speaks to you? Might the Spirit of God. God bless you, brethren. God bless you. Saints, would you come and kneel with them? Be there with them. Pray with them. Would you come? bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Would some of you have the heart to come and pray with them here? After this, we'll go to the back, and you can then pray there as well and help them through. This is what the church is about. It's about helping us get home. God bless you. Someone come and be with this brother. Come to the Lord. It's a holy moment on the planet right now when souls are coming. When souls are coming, just clearing their hearts, getting right with God. Is there someone else? I don't want to make it hard for you. But come. I think if we could see Jesus at the door in heaven, we could see his hands with a hole in their hands just reaching out. Would you come? Come unto me. Come unto me. Is there someone else? Let me just pray, O God in heaven. We pray for those that are kneeling here in front of you. Lord Jesus, bless their hearts. Thank you for their honesty. Thank you for their openness. Thank you for the safety within the walls of this congregation that we can come and pour out our hearts. I pray, O God, for everyone that they would find you in a deep way, in a real way. And Lord, that their journey would again be different, and there would be a life-changing power that would come upon them as they allow the Holy Spirit to speak to them. And now, Lord, as they go back and as they pray with brothers and sisters, I pray, O God, meet their needs and thank you for being our God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you that have responded, maybe you want to go back, and I'll turn it over to the ministry there. Help them. Pray through. Sometimes what we need is just that time where we just spent time praying through. God bless you.
Things to meditate on.